all of us here, I know, are familiar with movie trailers. A movie trailer gives the basic plot and basic themes of a movie. Movie trailer is not supposed to give you all the details of a movie. Some of them do, but the good ones are not supposed to do that. Not to give you the whole movie, but watching it does give you a sense of, okay, here's what this movie is about. Here's a basic summary of what you're going to see when you sort of engage with the movie. Here, again, the basic plot, the basic themes. So this morning, as you can see, we have two different passages that reflect the start of Jesus' ministries. And I would argue these passages kind of are almost a movie trailer of what Jesus' ministry is going to be about. What we see in these passages is a sense of, like, here's the basic gist of Jesus' ministry over these next 3 years. And so how might we simply describe the ministry of Jesus, his public ministry? I would put it this way. Jesus' ministry is about declaring the gospel of the kingdom. What's the basic plot line of Jesus' ministry? To bring about, to usher in the gospel of the kingdom. That word gospel is a word the Bible uses means good news or a good announcement. So Jesus is ushering, he's declaring, he's bringing in good news, a major announcement. What's the good news? What's the major announcement? It's the gospel of the kingdom, specifically the kingdom of God. So to understand that, you got to understand the way that the Bible is framed is, and what I believe is that there is a God. You're not here just randomly. God's made you. He's made this world. He's made it a certain way. It's meant to be a certain way, but it's not that way right now. We've strayed away from where God has originally created this world to be. What God wants to do is bring us back to himself, bring us back into his kingdom. Have this world reflect who God is, a world that's ruled by God, and that reflects, again, the values of his kingdom, values of goodness and righteousness and truth and all these different things. And so Jesus' ministry is announcing, here's the way back. What he's going to be about is saying, hey, I'm ushering and declaring the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus is sort of bringing about the arrival of that, helping us understand, here's how we get there. And so how does Jesus do that? How does he bring the gospel of the kingdom of God to people? He'll do that in two very specific ways that we'll look at this morning. So first, what you'll see over the course of Jesus' ministry, summarized in our passages, is that Jesus is going to give a message. There's a message you got to hear from Jesus to believe so that you can be changed, so you can be turned towards the gospel of the kingdom and move into the gospel of the kingdom, into God's kingdom. But number two, Jesus also brings power. The gospel is not just this message Jesus is going to give, it's also the power of God in people's lives so that they can receive it, can be healed and restored. Both of these things reflect the ministry of Jesus. Both of these things reflect how he's bringing to you, bringing to us, the gospel of the kingdom. So, like I said, we're going to look in detail on these things. That's where we'll spend our time this morning. First, we should do a little bit of setup. We see in our passage that Matthew just wants to almost say, hey, so I'm going to talk about these things, but I want you to know this is significant because this is something that was fulfilled thousands of years ago in the Old Testament. God has cared about helping us find him again and come into his kingdom. And so he made predictions, prophecies about this happening. And so Matthew, one of his concerns is to show Jesus is the one God has promised. This one is referred to as the Messiah in the Old Testament, someone God promised to send to usher and to bring about the kingdom of God. And so before he sort of explains then the start of the ministry of Jesus, he just wants to show, and he's been doing this all along, hey, the Old Testament has talked about this before. So that's our passage. That's the first couple of verses in the first passage we'll look at. Matthew 4, verses 12 to 16. Let me read this. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region in shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. So there's a prophet, Old Testament prophet named Isaiah, who originally spoke these words, and it was a reference to, he was saying, Israel at one point is going to be in exile, but they're eventually going to come back. Right? And they're going to come back to their homeland. And that was the original sort of prophecy that he was giving, which did happen. But one of the things, the way Old Testament prophecy works is there's what we call multiple fulfillments. Like God sort of, he likes to say, do more than just what you might see initially. So there's a sense in which Matthew is pointing out, hey, this actually happened, historically happened. Isaiah said this would happen, and this happened. The people went into exile, were forced to leave. Israel was forced to leave their homeland. They eventually did come back. It was like light shining in the darkness for them. But that's not the only thing God was up to. There's a bigger sense in which God wants to have people, humanity, come back to him. A spiritual return. And the prediction here is that someone's going to come to bring this about. And Matthew is just saying, hey, the start of Jesus' ministry is showing this. As he moves into Galilee, a place where there were Jews and Gentiles, we should see this as Jesus being that light to lead people back to God, lead them back out of their spiritual darkness. So that's a setup for this. Yeah, this is something thousands of years in the making that we're about to look at this morning. Now we get into the actual description of what Jesus was about. This sort of summary, as I said, this movie trailer of what Jesus' ministry was about. Here's how Jesus is going to shine light in the darkness. Here's how he's going to fulfill what was promised, bringing about the gospel of the kingdom of God, gospel of the kingdom of heaven. He's going to do it in two ways, as we said. Number one, there's a message he's going to give. And number two, there's power he wants to bring. So let's look at that first one, the message Jesus gives. This is verse 23. And Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. So Jesus went everywhere, and when he rolled up into town, he found the places where people were wanting to be taught, right? So these are the synagogues, the religious centers. And so, and it says there, he's teaching, he's preaching. What was Jesus teaching and preaching? Well, like, read the Gospels, right? We see all the kind of different things Jesus was teaching and preaching. One of the big sections we find is in Matthew 5 to 7, the kind of things Jesus taught and preached. And we should read all of it. It's all important, right, for understanding what Jesus is about. However, I would argue there is one message that at the center of all that Jesus taught and preached, right? Taught and preached a lot of different things, but there's a central message we always need to come back to. And that message we find a couple of verses earlier in verse 17. I see these passages as connected. And all that Jesus taught and preached, there's one central message we should always remember. Matt, think of it as like all the teachings of Jesus, they're the planets at the sun. To really unlock what Jesus is about is this message that we must repent. We must turn towards God. We see that again, as I said, in verse 17. At the heart of what we find, what we see Jesus doing in verse 23, teaching and proclaiming all the different things, at the heart of it is this, verse 17, that Jesus from that time began to preach. The implication is he began to preach this and he kept preaching and teaching this. He always was going to come back to this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, look, Jesus, he's a cool dude, right? I think we can say that. Everyone you can speak to or talk to when you do surveys, the type of things, like people like Jesus. There's a lot to like about Jesus. He cares about the poor. He pays attention to children, the sort of stuck-up religious elites. He puts them in their place. There's all sorts of things Jesus is that's great about Jesus. It's cool about Jesus. But here's the thing. In all the things that you want to sort of hear from Jesus about or engage with Jesus about that draws you to Jesus, those are great, but there is always at the center of what Jesus is about is this message that he gives that you shouldn't avoid. And Jesus is going to do it in a way, as he gives this message, he's not doing it in a way that like wants to slap you across the face per se, but it's direct. It's personal. And it's this. At the end of the day, before you sort of get into all the things I'm about, you must repent. You've not gotten Jesus if you don't hear this call for people to repent. What does repent mean? Repent literally means to change, to turn. Repent in the Bible, repentance in the Bible means, hey, I'm this way, I'm looking this way, I'm going this way with my life. This ain't working. I'm going to turn and go in an opposite direction. That's repentance. That's what Jesus is about. Fundamentally, in all the things he taught, and all the things he's proclaiming, it always is going to require you responding to that call, the call to repent. God in his kingdom is only found when we repent. And I want to sort of go back to what I just said. It's important enough to break down specifically. If you're new to Jesus in any way here, like this is going to be good for you. Because this is sort of, you're trying to say, you hear all this stuff about Jesus, you're trying to say, well, what's the most first basic thing I need to understand about what Jesus wants me to know? It's this. I want you to repent. So I want you to hear the specific things that repentance is about. For those of you who've been away from Jesus for a while, hey, welcome back. Great to have you. Let's remember, though, in coming back to Jesus, if you've been away for a while, it starts, if you want to get back to what it is Jesus is about, you've been away for a while, it's this. You must repent. So, what's repentance? Let's break down what I just said. Number one, repentance is confession. If you want to repent, you have to admit that you're wrong, that there's wrong things going on. What's wrong? The word the Bible uses to describe us being wrong is the word sin. A lot of different ways to describe sin. This morning, I want to sort of put it as us not living or being as God created us to be, as God called us to be. And that's sin, where we're not where God wants us to be. We're not living and being as God wants us to be. Let me maybe illustrate this way. Imagine you were trained to be like a chef, a really good chef, given all the skills and training to be a chef. And then you choose, once you've been trained and equipped to be a chef, you choose to do all your cooking in a pitch black kitchen. How would that go? Well, imagine there's multiple ones of us doing this, trained as chefs. Some of you, you'll pull it off. You're gonna pull off a peanut butter and jelly sandwich somehow. You'll boil some pasta, you'll burn yourself, but you'll do something, right? Others of you won't do much at all. There'll be some differences among us as we're cooking in a pitch black kitchen. But the result is, for everyone, is no one will be fully what they were meant to be. No one will be able to cook elaborate five-course meals like they were trained to be, like they're supposed to be. None of us will be able to give food to people in the ways that we're supposed to be. They can't see it. We might use things that aren't good for them. It won't work the way it's supposed to be because we're in a place, we've made a choice to be in a place that we're not supposed to be. When we think of sin and what sin is, you know, one of the ways, I could pick a lot of different ways to help us unlock this, but one of the ways of thinking about this is God just sort of saying to us, look, you're not as you're supposed to be. We're meant to be human beings, and our definition of what it means to be human being is not God's definition. God's definition of being a human being is someone who listens to God and follows God and obeys God, and that results in goodness and love and grace and justice and mercy and forgiveness and all these things being in your life. To repent means confessing, that's not me. It's not me in the ways it should be. Repentance requires admitting this case. Repentance, basically, another way of thinking about this, confession is just being honest. Confession is just you finally saying, yeah, what I'm doing is not working. What I'm doing is not working. And that's why I often say this first step, confession, requires you to be your most real, authentic self. A lot of us care about authenticity and honesty today. Like, there's a lot of conversation about that. Here's a way to be really honest and authentic, to admit that what you're doing, apart from God, is not working entirely. And even saying it's working a little bit is sort of like you're missing the point. It's not working entirely. It's not working fully in the ways that it was supposed to work. So confession requires honesty, admitting, well, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not where God wants me to be. And confessing that. And here's the thing, God helps us with this. Because this is hard to do. And so one of the things the Bible says is confession is something God helps you with. To sort of actually see yourself honestly. We shouldn't see God. Don't see God as someone who sees you sort of in the darkness, in sin, trying to figure things out, and he's like, man, what screw-ups? I hope they figure it out. The whole point of the Gospels is God saying, can you see what's going on here? I want you to see what's going on here. I'm going to tell you as directly and forthrightly what's going on, and guess what? I'm sending someone to be the light. Look to the light. Look to Jesus. Help him, have him show the light of your life and what's actually going on there so you can confess it. So you can be honest about where things are at. So confession requires this. Repentance requires this. Confession. Honesty about yourself. But number two, then, it requires turning. That Jesus isn't just about saying, I'm admitting, because some of us will do that first part, and maybe you're really good about this. You love talking about how terrible you are, right? But that's not what Jesus is really up to here. It's not just saying, well, yeah, I got a lot of stuff going on. It's not always so great. Yeah, I do believe in God and not all the ways that God wants me to be. But Jesus is like, so then turn. And turn means you actually make a conscious, intentional decision to turn away from this path that is away from God and from Jesus. So confession must lead to turning. really get a sense of repentance, right? Some of you, that turning is a prayer you pray. Jesus, I need you. It's a simple prayer you do. Some of you, it's a slower turn, right? So some people turn this way. Some people, it's a little more like this, right? Either way, there is a sense in which you are saying consciously and deliberately, as I said, this is not working, and I'm not going to just keep saying it's not working. I'm going to turn in a different direction. And what completes repentance then is that we move. So when Jesus says repent, it means all these things, right? You can't, don't just pick one. You got to be honest about yourself. You got to confess. You've got to turn away from where you were, and then you've got to move in a different direction. It's a move in faithful, persevering obedience to Jesus, that you're sort of moving now on a path where you're saying, okay, now I'm going to love differently. I'm going to love like Jesus. I'm going to serve differently. I'm going to serve like Jesus. I'm going to live for what's true and right like Jesus. At the heart of all Jesus taught and preached, this ministry of the gospel of the kingdom is a very clear message. Hey, let's be real about what's going on. Turn and go a different direction. Let me help you do that. Let me lead you in that. Follow me in that. When should you do this? Well, what did Jesus say? The kingdom of God is at hand. It's now. It's now. It's even today. To turn in faith to Jesus. Jesus says repent because it's right here. It's right in front of you. And I do think this is the coolest thing about Jesus, right? This is what's really cool about what I think Christianity is about, what Jesus is about. And it's really this. It doesn't matter how deep in darkness you are, how far away you might imagine you are from God, you're only one turn away from finding him. One turn away from finding God and finding Jesus. You'll be stunned by it. How quickly the light of God and the light of Jesus will come and find you, no matter how long, how far, or how much you've been struggling with this. Jesus is about finding people and leading them into the kingdom. He's that light. So that's why the heart of all these says, I mean, he's got a lot of other things he wants to say to you about what it is to know God and to follow God. But it requires this, doesn't it? It's repentance. So that's a message for us to hear this morning, to confess, to turn, to move now towards God by following Jesus. So it's a message that Jesus gives, but the gospel of the kingdom of God is also power Jesus brings, power of healing and restoration. So let's keep reading here. Let's look at the other passage, the second passage, Matthew 4, verses 23 to 24. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. They brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. See, sin, the darkness that we're in, doesn't just affect us spiritually. It's also had physical consequences. So when we think of this gospel of the kingdom, it's a message Jesus gives us, but also it's power Jesus brings. That the gospel of the kingdom is holistic, right? It's meant to engage and heal us in all parts of our lives, to bring healing and restoration. And I think this emphasis on sort of, you might say, the physical dimensions of this, the fact that there's power Jesus brings into our lives to heal and to restore this, it's a way of making the message of the gospel legit. If you think about this, a kingdom is something that you live in, right? And you experience in real life, right? God sent Jesus to show that the kingdom is real. It's a way of saying, when we say Jesus gives us victory over sin and death and all the things associated with death, when Jesus came, he was giving this message, bringing this message, but also bringing power to show the message I'm going to tell you about, it's legit, it's real. Here's the power I'm bringing into your life to show it. This is why I think it's interesting, if you pay attention here, that Jesus would sometimes bring the power before people believe the message. See, this passage doesn't imply that everyone had repented yet. Right? Now, he was calling people to repentance, but Jesus was okay saying, hey, I'm going to bring you an experience of the kingdom of God by healing the sick, healing the afflicted, right? Because ultimately, the gospel is meant to save us body and soul. The soul part is the instant you trust in Jesus. The body part we don't experience fully, right, until Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes back, he promises there's no pain, there's more suffering, all these different things. But God in his grace gives us early experiences of it, early encounters of it. And I think that's what Jesus is doing. Again, ultimately, we must repent, but a platform for that to happen, a way of sort of saying, look, this stuff we're talking about is not just sort of abstract stuff, like sort of, you know, I'm asking you to sort of think about something that could be sort of cool, right? That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is an encounter with God that changes us fully in all areas of our lives, in all the different things we're doing, and all the things that we're involved with. It's something that was part of the ministry of Jesus, and it's something that all of us who say we follow Jesus are also called to as well. Did you know that? I mean, this ministry of Jesus, when we say we're about the ministry of Jesus, there's a message we need to give, but there's also power we bring still today as we continue to follow Jesus. And we do that by continuing to do good in this world. Because if you think about this broader sense of what Jesus is about, right, we want to bring healing and restoration. Now, Jesus, 100% success rate, of course. We're not Jesus. But I don't want us to sort of separate, well, this is what Jesus was doing, and we don't sort of play a part in this today. No, there's still good that we bring that brings healing and restoration. Healing and restoration that continues to help make the message of the gospel legit and real in people's lives. And this is not just me saying this. Jesus himself says, this is what I want you to be doing. The light that I'm bringing, one of the ways you help people see the light and then believe the light so they can turn towards the light is by doing good in this world. Here's what Jesus himself says. This is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 14 and 16. We don't just speak the gospel, we do the gospel. So people are drawn into the gospel. Matthew 4, verses 14 and 16. It says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may, what's it say there? See your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus is saying, I'm putting my light in you. The good that you do helps people see me, helps people realize there is a Father in heaven who cares about them, and they will celebrate that. They'll give glory to God about that, and that will bring about change by God's grace to make them change to follow that God. And so we are called to bring the power of the gospel to people's lives by doing good. And so over the centuries, at this church, that looks in so many different ways by which people have the light of the gospel of the kingdom of God shown into their lives. People getting food and water and clothing and housing. Us giving of our resources so that they can have those things. Providing homes and families for children. Through this church, therapy and counseling has been given for the mentally distressed. It's helping people beat addictions. Right? These are all the sort of good things that we do. The good of the gospel that brings the power of the gospel to people's lives so they might believe in the gospel. We're called to do good. Now, again, I did sort of say this broad sense in which we're called to do good works based on this passage, but I'm gonna say this. I don't think Jesus has stopped being in the business of doing the specific thing that we saw in this passage. I want to be clear about that. I don't think we should say, well, because we're not 100% successful like Jesus, that means this kind of stuff that he actually, the most razor sharp good that we can do is actually physical healing. But that stopped because Jesus isn't here. The testimony of the church around the world, if you just sort of pay attention to the kind of things, you talk to other people around the world, this kind of stuff actually still happens. Diseases, it says there, various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics. That kind of stuff still happens and does happen. We should pray that it happens. We should step forth in faith that God, in his efforts to help people believe the message of the gospel, brings the power of the gospel into people's lives. You know, I listen to a lot of rap. One of my favorite Christian rappers is KB. And he did a song with a guy named Christopher called Can't Tell It All, and there's a part that has stuck out to me ever since I heard it, because it's kind of catchy. But it has stuck out to me because it just sort of goes through a list of things that he's experienced Jesus do. And he talks about Jesus changing his heart, but it's other things as well that I think to myself, well, yeah, Jesus does that. Of course Jesus does that. I want Jesus to do that. And here's the line from his song. He says this, I've seen a man's whole back healed. I see a woman drooling out the mouth. I seen the demons in her cast it out. I seen my brother throw his whole vape in the lake, see smooth heal from the dark. I've seen the Spirit change my own heart. I can't tell it all, but that's a good start. I want you to know that's the Jesus I follow. This is what he does. And he does this all the time, more than I think I need to have more faith for this. I need to step out in faith and believe this. It sticks out to me because this still happens. Now, because here's the thing. Jesus did not heal every last person in the first century, right? But he healed a lot of people. And so we're not talking about like every single last person on the planet Earth being healed. That's not what this is about. This is a pointer to when that will happen. But Jesus is still pointing. And how is he still pointing? Through us. Through our prayers, through our faith and belief in Jesus. Gospel ministry is both body and soul. I want to give you vision for that. I want to give you imagination for that. I want to give you prayer and faith for this type of thing. Prayer and faith for people in your lives who have all the things that are listed in the song. They got illnesses and they got spiritual, deep spiritual things happening. They're addicted to all sorts of different things. And you might think that can never happen. God says it can happen. As you see God wanting to call and draw people to himself, expect that can happen. Expect God might use that as a way to draw them to himself and step into that. So, the gospel of the kingdom. This morning, I want you to walk away as we've closed here, realizing it's a message to be given, and its power to be brought. This message, I invite some of you to hear the message this morning and believe it and repent. It's very simple. Well, I'm not going to say it's simple in the sense of I'm talking about something that's life-changing. I get it, right? But it's simple in the sense of I don't want to complicate it. It's saying, I admit I'm not in the right place, and I want what you got. God, I want what you got, Jesus. Help me to turn towards you. I think Jesus is doing that even today. Hear that message, turn and repent to him, and step into all that God has for you in Jesus. For others of you, my call for you is to be about the full ministry of Jesus, to be speaking the message and to be bringing his power by doing good actively in this world. And the word and is critical here. It's and. Both are needed, message and power of God in people's lives. I know for sure some of you will prefer one over the other. Some of you, you love the telling and you downplay the doing. Others of you, you're great on the doing, but you never get eventually to the telling. The full ministry of Jesus is about a people who are about all of Jesus, right? That's what we say here at Roosevelt. Not half of Jesus, not our favorite parts of Jesus, all of Jesus. Because we want all of Jesus in all of our lives, and he engages all of our lives. And so that's why we must give the message. There must be words that come of your mouth. Words that come out of your mouth in the people in your lives. If you've gone years without people knowing anything about your faith in Jesus, like that's a miss, to put it lightly. We should let people know. I mean, Jesus is legit. And not just that he's legit. He's someone who has something for you, but you got to turn in faith towards him. There's words that need to come out of our mouths, but also there's good that we need to do. Good that brings the power of God into people's lives. Power to heal and restore them into community. And don't put limits on what that might look like. Don't put limits on what you might expect to happen as you engage with people. The God's power, because I believe God is calling people to himself more than you might possibly imagine all around the world. And his power is one of the ways we've seen from the start in the ministry of Jesus, he does that. Let's engage and do good in a way so that God's power might be visited in people's lives that shows the realness of God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. And may the result be huge. So many people coming to know Jesus, coming out of darkness and into his light. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time, for opportunity to be together. And Lord, thank you for the fact that, Lord, you don't just say things, you prove things. And so prove who you are in people's lives, in my life, over and over again, that yes, you do bring change. Yes, you bring power to heal and restore. Lord, may that only increase in our church and every church. Lord, in a world that is struggling to figure out what's true and what's right and what's good, Lord, may the call of God, may Jesus be ever clearer, more clear than ever before. I pray this in your name. Amen.